The Around the NFL Podcast is king in the north.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolfe, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, team?
Ho!
That's a different open for you today.
Ho! That was
mixing it up.
I messed with the cadence a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was a test, actually, to see if you guys now, as we are entering the dark period of the NFL calendar, are you still sharp? Or are you kicking your legs up and not paying attention? Gold stars for everybody.
That's great. Oh,
thanks. Thanks, Skip. I mean, the managing doesn't stop on the softball field.
I kind of would like the managing to stop after our team blew a 10-2 lead.
What?
Let's not talk about that.
And a walk-off 11-10 loss for the Shield, which dropped us to 4-4. Very disappointing. I will be making some moves. I will be making some changes. This is good. It's actually like when you bench a quarterback, but you wait until your bye week's coming up, so you give the guy coming in 2 weeks to get up to speed with the offense and get comfortable. We have our bye coming up, our final bye of the season, and there will be changes in the lineup.
Are you going to announce them here on the pod?
No, out of respect for the people involved, they want to have some private conversations.
Strike!
And if you have any other questions about what's going on with the team, it's open.
Well, can I ask you one?
Yeah.
You blow a 10-2 lead.
Yes.
Again, I don't want you to necessarily name people. You can if you'd like, but did anyone stand out as sort of the scapegoat in that situation?
You know, Mark, it is a it's a team game, and I don't think there was anyone. If you're looking for you're looking to hang goat horns,
I'm just asking.
Horns. I mean, you have to ask the question. I understand that's part of
right.
your job.
It's part of my job.
But we lost as a team, just like we win as a team, and we lost as a team. Anything else?
How's the mood in the clubhouse? Like with the record now, I mean, 500. It's rough.
I don't think anybody really cares.
Oh, that's
a problem.
Not true. You know,
that's a major problem.
That's not true. I care. You know, I know other people that care.
Do you care?
I care very much. I care too much, in fact. But as long as the cooler is filled with beers, I think everyone else moves on pretty quickly on our team. I'll put it that way. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe we have a culture issue. That's part of this.
Well, one last
Doesn't
question.
That start with the manager?
Last question.
Last question because there was a lot of
I got time for one more, guys. Then I got
a lot of celebration coming off of last year's amazing championship victory. Was the attitude coming into this season the correct one?
Well, the attitude
by the team. Was the team humble enough? Were they saying this is a new season?
Get
down.
Just
coast.
Do I believe that there might have been? We're
hangover?
Suffering a little bit from the disease of Moore. A little bit, yes. Mm. There's been some issues. I've had to put out a lot of fires this season. We're missing some people. The most important player for me is Chris Wessling, who is not only my third baseman and my leading hitter last season, but also my Don Zimmer. He's my consigliere. So not having him to strategize, which that's been very difficult. So I think
– And me too, not there.
Connie Fox hasn't been there to
right.
order Postmates beer orders from left center field. So there's been a lot of issues. Greg has been a I didn't even want to call it a surprise, but Greg has been a nice player for us this season and has definitely helped us.
Every game I've seen, Greg has been
yeah.
Greg seriously is, solid on, if, at if the people, plate in the field.
If people want to parse my words and try to spin this into me saying Greg's the problem, absolutely not. Greg Rosenthal is doing a great job out there, and we'll get back on track.
I'm going to show
or
up
we won't.
To root for you guys next week.
It's a bye week, though.
Got you.
Okay.
I got you.
Well done.
All right, and that concludes the Shield press conference. 4-4. We are a game
Surprise.
Out. We are a game out of the playoffs with 4 to play. So we'll keep you updated there. Today's show is a good one. Mini camps are over. As I said, this is the dark period. So what we're going to do. Is we're going to pose some unsolved mysteries as we enter the National Football League's dark period.
I want to see you do the drums again for this.
What a show.
And Greg, you know, I don't like to, get on you too much about you were born at age 32, but when you told us during our meeting before the show that you had never seen an episode of Unsolved Mysteries as a man born in 1979, which would have put you
whatever,
square
that's a show for 50 and 60-year-olds.
I'm watching
MTV as a kid.
Well, that's an opinion because I enjoyed it immensely at age like 15, 16 years old.
I'm just saying, I don't think that makes me look – that makes me old that I'm watching different shows other than Unsolved
That you've never
Mysteries.
Seen – if you were like a teenager – in the early 90s, and you never saw a single episode of Unsolved Mysteries, that was like one of the, like a go-to like scary show for that generation.
For years and years, I thought I was going to spontaneously combust after seeing one
Very
episode.
Very stressful show.
Yeah.
So are we working on a theory? It was like 2001 when Greg came out of the like cryogenic freeze at 32 years old. What was the year you think it happened?
Right before the Patriots' first Super Bowl.
My mom listens to this podcast. She'll take offense that all of those tough years of child rearing
being dismissed.
Ignored, dismissed.
That's not fair for her.
That is not fair at all. Sorry, Deb. Deb Rosenthal, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to Debbie. Deb. All right. So, yes, we'll break down the Unsolved Mysteries. We're also going to get Mike Garofalo on the phone. He's been bouncing around mini camps this week, including a trip to Tampa. And you know how excited I am about what's going on in Tampa, specifically in the special teams room.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah, pretty much exclusively about what's going on in that special teams room. So we'll talk to Mike about the Bucks, about the special teams room, and about anything else that he came across this week. And then we're going to do some news. And to do that, we got to check behind the glass. There he is. Again, he survived a trip to Mexico where 80,000 people wanted him underground, but here he is behind the glass. So
yeah, still walking along, walking tall, fellas.
And we don't want to paint all people of Mexico with the same brush. Like everyone wanted to kill Sully. I'm just going by the brush that Sully painted of the
he
people.
Painted
of,
that.
No, I did not paint that. I quote said that it was a great time down in Mexico, other than game day. But happy Friday, guys. Haven't done a Friday show in a long time.
Yeah, it's fun to do a Friday show. And Sully's a good time guy. So when you have Sully behind the glass on a Friday morning, we're flying. So let's do some news.
Bye, Felicia.
What was that, Mark?
I feel kind of bad because on the last show, you know, we called out certain phrases, you know, jargon, slang that we thought had definitely reached their expiration date. And it came to my attention over Twitter that on a recent Move the Sticks podcast, awesome sauce had come out of your mouth, Sully. So it was not aimed that were not the unidentified white male that I overheard saying that.
Context: we were talking about Dreamland Barbecue, and I said they have awesome sauce.
That's different.
Okay,
that's
so the
way different.
The person
that's
that tweeted
different.
Me
that's
had
way
a,
different.
That's a context issue from the person that tweeted me. So
exactly.
you're not even on the radar.
I know who that guy is. He's a loser.
Wow.
he does a podcast with one of our former mates, Kent Brown.
Oh, yes, yes.
For some reason, he has a beef or an axe to grind with.
Oh, wait, he's the bartender.
He is not a loser.
I love the beef.
He's the bartender
Noel,
at public school.
Noel.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Oh,
good.
I met him before. He's a nice guy.
Great guy. Yeah, cool. So you kind of, you know.
Team Noel.
Now you're back on the radar.
I think
good.
He gave me
I could
free
be
drink.
On the radar.
Wow, I like this heat.
That's fine.
I like this heat.
Yeah.
Good knowledge there.
Yeah, knowledge.
All right.
Knowledge.
All right, let's do some news. Let's start with some not-so-pleasant news in New Orleans, where NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported that left tackle Teron Armstead is scheduled for surgery on Monday to repair a torn labrum. Per Rappaport, Armstead suffered the injury on Wednesday and had tests on Thursday that confirmed a torn labrum. The timetable for Armstead's rehab is 4 to 6 months. Which is the second time in two shows that we've heard that timetable, which, again, puts you either in October or December. And this, Greg Rosenthal, is pretty much the worst-case scenario in these. You got a couple minicamp practices before you go dark and get ready for minicamp, and you lose a key part of your team.
I think he's the second-best player on the Saints.
Ooh.
I mean, when he's at his best, he's one of the best left tackles in the league. They not only are losing, you know, their second best player, they have their two best offensive linemen. Everyone's talking about Adrian Peterson's going to be running behind this great offensive line who played pretty well last year. Their two best offensive linemen, Teron Armstead and Max Unger, are both coming off major injuries. So they've had a rough offseason. in New Orleans. I can't think of another team that's taken two big injury hits like that.
It's a good thing that they drafted Ryan Ramczyk, but like they're going to have to put him
a lot.
Probably in the starting lineup right away.
Very, very tough situation. They have Andrews Pete, who's an option now for them. Khalif Barnes, but it's very grim.
Yeah, they didn't want
situation
Ramczyk.
All of a sudden.
They didn't want him. They wanted to draft Reuben Foster. Maybe it'll work out, but he's coming off a serious injury, and he's played 1 year of competitive football at a high level. I mean, he was not a risky pick, but a guy you really hadn't seen much. He played 1 year at Wisconsin. That's all they
And it feels like a team that's going to need to score about 28 points a game to, you know, get above the 8-win mark.
And just a note, if you're curious what the Saints think of Tron Armstead, he signed a 5-year, $65.25 million contract extension last offseason. Moving on, let's talk a little Rams. And Greg, listen, Greg, when you went poking in Thousand Oaken, what was it?
What?
Greg pokes in Thousand Oaks,
that's
is that what it was?
Pokes in Thousand Oaks, yeah.
You did make the note, and it was very perceptive, Greg, that Greg Robinson, the 2014 number two overall pick of the Rams, was not working with the first or second team. Basically, was just he was being a water jockey or something.
He had a couple snaps maybe with the second team, but no, he's watching the action. He's just standing there with a bunch of other offensive linemen watching.
All right, so connect the dots, because a day later the Rams traded.
Jumping on your insider territory.
I like that. Well, not we don't have your drop yet. We're gonna work on it though, because you get a couple more like these. And you can get your own. You're in
drop?
The club. You're in the club. All leather, dark liquor.
Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
I thought we were getting dance.
NFL.com's
Greg Rosenthal.
I mean, Greg pointed at Sully thinking he was going to get something else there, I think.
Yeah, that's all right.
The Rams traded the offensive tackle to the Detroit Lions for a 2018 sixth-round pick, Rap Sheet reported. ESPN first had the news. The Lions have a need at offensive tackle after their starter, Taylor Decker, had shoulder surgery. He is also out that mystical 4 to 6 months number. So there's a need for the Lions.
Mystical.
And just strange that exact same timetable popped up two shows in a row for me. I don't know why. But my question, Mark Sessler, is this. When the Rams next play the Redskins, will they send out their 2018 sixth-round pick for the coin toss as a team captain?
It's getting harder to do ridiculous on-field processions like that for the Rams. Maybe they wheel out Jeff Fisher. I mean, it's funny. Cause,
what does that even
like in a Hannibal Lecter thing with the mask
know.
And everything?
I mean, it's like there are a lot of guilty parties here, and you look at what they got for that in that Redskins trade, and there's not much left. There really isn't. What is there's Alec Ogletree and –
who's been a big-time leader for that team. So he
is, but there were eight players in that draft haul, and two of them are still active. On the flip side, you know, not to get into the Redskins side, but they also equally botched it. No one really won this. The Rams might have.
I don't even think the Redskins botched it, to be honest with you. They botched it with how they handled the player that they
back,
got.
Yeah. The results,
it didn't work out. But I thought they hit a home run for 3 months.
It looked like it.
Oh, well. Anyway, any other thoughts on Greg Robinson? Colleen, maybe we're going to have some time to talk. We'll have to break down. You had a special night out with a certain NFL official connected to this story. Front office official. But let's just
well,
use
and,
that
and
for
the
now.
Whole family.
The whole family,
yes.
Yes. Including, including, of course, John Gonzalez.
Who?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who is married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Is that one of the unsolved mysteries we're going to get to?
I mean, I
one of them, maybe.
This, Greg, was the theme song to Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes, I knew that.
Hosted by Colleen.
Oh, Stack.
Robert Stack.
Robert Stack.
I think Les Snead has to be pleasantly surprised he got anything for Greg Robinson. That surprises me. I mean, this guy was a total bust. Yeah. He got a sixth-round pick back.
But let's not hand out any lollipops.
No, I get it.
2014 second overall pick turns into a 2018 sixth round pick. It's about as bad as it gets.
Lions also picked up Cyrus Kwanjo.
I mean, ooh. They I mean, they have a bad history. They drafted remember Jason Smith? That's another all-time number two overall pick bust that the Rams took way back in the day.
Michael Floyd's in more trouble. And, well, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But as of the taping of this podcast, TMZ reported Friday that the Vikings wide receiver tested positive for alcohol this week. Floyd, as you may or may not be aware, is on house arrest and prohibited from consuming alcohol at all as part of his sentence for an extreme DUI stemming from an arrest in Arizona in December. Floyd was cut by the Cardinals after that arrest, landed with the Patriots, got a ring, then signed to the Vikings, who want they believe that he can make a big impact, but now we don't know what's going to happen. Rap Sheet reported that Floyd is due back in Scottsdale court on June 26th to explain the flagged tests. And there was a report out there that Floyd stated, or a Rappaport reported, that he drank kombucha tea.
Kombucha
tea, which explains why the sample contained alcohol. Mark, your body's looking tight and right now. A lot of people have pointed to black magic / voodoo diet that you're on. And kombucha is a major part of it, isn't it?
Well, that is not true. It is in our – we do have it in our refrigerator, though.
Are you on a black magic diet, yes or no?
It's called – I'm not – I'm experimenting with the Tom Brady diet. Black magic? No, thank you.
I love
say this.
Kombucha.
Yeah, it's – I think in L.A., it is in the last year or two, it's gotten extremely popular.
I have in my hand right now some kombucha that was gifted to us from by Jeremy Bergman. Burgo down on the desk. A great dude, a real mensch, a Jets fan too, and a Yankee fan.
Be careful.
Be careful.
Why?
I shook it a little.
Greg was shaking it.
Stupid. So just be.
Why? Is it carbonated?
Yeah, you don't want to shake it.
What is this thing? I've never had kombucha, but Burgo
waving it around
offered it to us.
Yeah, do that thing where it's, you know, a nice slow. There you go.
So I'm going to try it for the first time. I have some cups here. Does anybody else want some?
I'll try some.
Yeah.
I'll drink right
out
of the bottle.
So there is a low amount of alcohol in kombucha.
I have some, I did a little digging.
I just spilled on our equipment. Is that a problem, Sully?
Yeah, if I'm not part of the show.
Yeah, probably.
It was fun.
All right.
Keep liquids away from them.
This looks like, and this might seem a little crass, this looks like the urine that after like a long sleep.
Ew.
And it's very dark.
Very, very
dark pee-pee.
A lot of toxins coming out of you.
Here's some dark.
I mean, the alcohol.
It looks like beer.
It says less than
0.5%. Yeah, it looks like an IPA.
Are we drinking on the job? All right, I'm going to try it. First time ever kombucha.
Tastes good.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I like it.
You're doing your best to get as many swallowing sounds as you can get into this segment, I can tell.
It's gross. Ew, no, stop.
This side of the table wants nothing to do with that.
I use the cough button for because I know Mark is a closet misophonian.
I am too.
Rapper.
I'm out in the open about it.
It's not a real thing.
Misophonia.
This is good though. I like kombucha.
But yeah. So it says the alcohol level here is 0.5%.
Well, yes, you're right. Here's the thing. I a site that I went to, the Phoenix DUI blog. I know we visited frequently. But listen to what they wrote.
Well, you haven't been on that since that Super Bowl a couple years ago.
That's exactly right. It still exists. It's thriving. It says, why does this tea need to be regulated? It's basically saying that you can get a DUI from kombucha tea. It says, why does this tea need to be regulated as an alcoholic beverage? Some bottles of kombucha contain more than 0.5%. Some of them do. In the drink, which is the legal limit for a drink to be considered non-alcoholic. For this reason, some retail stores like Whole Foods have removed raw kombucha from their stores altogether. Now, if you're downing this stuff hour after hour, which, if you're Michael Floyd, if this is your excuse, you should also have done enough research to know that it has a little bit of juice to it.
A lot of them have warnings at the top.
Right.
Like at Whole Foods, they have warnings on the top that contains a low percentage of alcohol.
It says right here, and he also has a high, his blood alcohol level was reported at 0.055. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert.
That's a lot of kombucha.
I feel like you would have to drink a lot of kombucha.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll see what happens. That could.
And they were. It was at 6 in the morning. It was between 5:30.
What if you've been drinking kombucha all night long?
Connect those dots.
He also denied the report, though, too.
I mean,
that's fair to point out.
All jokes aside, it's sad for him. He was in house arrest for 96 days.
Right.
He was 90 days into it.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you worry that he's struggling. The problem, if this is happening.
Or he's trying to get his probiotics.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see, but that could be a problem for the major problem for the Vikings, because if a judge is not happy with what he learns and not happy with the explanation, he can get thrown back in jail.
Well, one quickly unsolved mystery that we won't get to later in the show is, how long is Michael Floyd going to be suspended for? Because his suspension has not come down from the NFL. That's been one of the hanging issues, and I think they were waiting for this to wrap up.
Right.
And now there's a whole nother thing.
Right. You would think
for.
This is not going to help him keep that suspension at a low number.
Moving on, Mark, we wondered if this would be a good test for does God hate the Browns? We can move away from does God hate Cleveland. No, does not hate Cleveland. Does he hate the Browns? Miles Garrett limps off from a minicamp practice with what was called a foot injury. However, Rap Sheet reports that the left foot is reportedly fine. Mary Kay Cabot of the Plain Dealer reported that Garrett was still at the team complex being evaluated after the pass rusher limped off on Wednesday. No further details, but Coach Hugh Jackson said Wednesday that it is a, quote, good sign to see Garrett leave the field without a trainer. Mark, I know you are as plugged in as anybody on what's going on around the Browns. Any other juice around this situation?
Well, right before we got up here, someone tweeted a photo from Hopkins International Airport in Cleveland of Miles Garrett leaving town, but in a walking boot. So maybe he, in general, he will be fine by camp, but there's something going on here.
Yeah, that is something, as a doctor, I can tell you. No, but I can say that that is used as a precautionary
Absolutely.
Measure as
yep.
much as it is for something serious. So that doesn't necessarily tell you
anything. The Browns haven't said anything.
Moving on, the Colts. Oh, not again. Kristen
what?
Michael, who was signed by the Colts, recently, is now being placed on injured reserve. And, you know, I think that this is something...
Hold on.
What?
Veto powers activated.
Whoa!
Oh, my God!
I'm deep six in this story.
Do you care to... You don't have to give an explanation.
I got a plane to catch to get out of here. I don't have time to talk Kristen Michael for the 18th
activated.
Time. He's out!
Powers
I'm with you. Moving on.
I love that veto.
Here's something that I will never veto. Because I wrote about it on the end around yesterday morning. Bucks camp came to a close in the most wonderful way possible. It came down to this. Now, paint this picture. And Colleen, I just got to let you know. I know you've given me a little bit of a hard time about...
I would never give you a hard time.
Yeah, just a little bit, though, about one of the great battles that we're seeing unfurl ever in an NFL offseason.
Aguayo. Folk. It makes Mayweather McGregor look like a landfill of baby puke.
Looks like that guy got into the kombucha. Anyway, so as we know, quick refresher, and I have the whole thing written up on the end around if you're not caught up. But Aguayo v. Folk, Nick Folk for the job in Tampa. And after a shaky OTA's performance by Aguayo when he yacked it on those narrow goalposts, he came back this week, and we talked about it on Wednesday's show. He had a nice showing in the earlier practice this week. And then, in fact, Dirk Cutter even went as far to say that he had won that day of practice, which was a little weird, I thought. But then, to end minicamp and send the Bucks into their summer vacation, what does Dirk do? Master motivator that he is. He sends those two kickers out to the middle of the field by themselves, and they have to kick. They have to hit two kicks, both from, I believe it was, let me get the exact distance here.
So from much pressure.
44 and 52. And they have to hit four in a row to end minicamp a half hour early. They both drill them.
Ooh,
all
what?
Four. And that's why, and I know this because Mike Garofalo of NFL Media was there
in
Tampa. He saw, and then this is the I'm using the words right from Mike Garofalo. Both men, quote, swarmed by teammates. You tell me this is not a big storyline in and around that building. Mike, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Yeah, is it too late to take that word swarmed back? Because I feel like I now vaulted a rather ordinary experience into friggin' Rudy getting carried off the field.
Was there Gatorade involved?
There was no Gatorade. Right.
But this has to be a best-case scenario. Like, you could have been sent out to any one of the 32 teams, and it just happened to be that you're sent out to the epicenter of what's happening in the NFL on Thursday.
I mean, I knew why I was there, and it was for Roberto Aguayo versus Nick Folk. I know.
Damn right.
I'm no dummy. And listen, if there are haters on Twitter that say, why are we talking about this? It's June. You know what? Stick it. Because, frankly, I care about kicking competitions, especially when it's a guy like Nick Folk, and not just – look, usually the second kicker guy in a camp is – a guy that's just like getting some kicks in, he's going to get some tape in the preseason, and then maybe he turns into Brandon McManus. Maybe he gets cut, and then he becomes a real kicker in the league. But in this case, you got Nick Folk, so it's a guy that's made big kicks in his career before.
It's the Folk hero.
See, Rex Ryan comes to the podium after the game and suggests Folk hero as the headline for the tabloids, and you know, he takes off. So it's a real thing, and I don't care what anybody says. It's a real thing. And you know what? If you're fired up about it, Dan Handzus, I'm fired up about it.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. And I should also say a real thing is that Mike Garofalo is on the underpants line sponsored by MeUndies.
Ooh. Ah. Mike, are you wearing MeUndies right now?
No, I'm wearing my undies.
Okay.
But that's only because you guys haven't sent me any yet. So that's the only reason why.
I just got my first pair.
Yeah.
If you guys had sent them to me, frankly, if you guys send them to me, I'll do them in only MeUndies. I'll do these.
We can do that.
They're very soft. You're going to like them.
So Mike, so you, any other, I know that I only care about what you just talked about when it comes to Bucks camp, but they're also a very buzzy team across the NFL in this room in our podcast. Any other takeaways from your time in Tampa? And then we just wanted to hit on some other places you were this week, but any other takeaways from Tampa?
Yeah, listen, I went to Jacksonville and then I went to Tampa. And in Jacksonville, we can get to them in a second, but in Jacksonville, it was all about kind of tamping down expectations, whereas in Tampa, it was really about embracing them. And at least the players were. I mean, the coaches and everybody else will always be more cautious, but I talked to Gerald McCoy about it after practice, and he said, you know, when the team goes out and signs guys over the last 2 years like J.R. Sweezy and now Deshaun Jackson, and they make the additions that they've made, it's a signal to guys that have been around for a while, members of the core like McCoy and maybe Levante David and a couple other guys, that, you know, now it's time. I mean, that's the way McCoy put it to me. Yeah, it's time. It's not just, okay, we're building something. It's been built, and now what are we going to do with it? And Jameis Winston and Cameron Brate were having a little catch at the end of practice after everybody else left the field. They're working on corner routes. Matter of fact, if you follow me on Snapchat, you saw this. Brate actually threw some to Jameis. I don't know why they did that. It wasn't a trick play. They just felt like doing it. But then it went back to Jameis throwing them to Cameron Brate, and he catches the last one. They're walking off the field, and Jameis says, all right, now let's go win the Super Bowl. So these guys are embracing the thought of them being a promising team in a very tough division, I might add.
Mike,
so, frankly, there's going to be a team on paper in the NFC South that looks great, that it's going to have a sub-500 record just because you can't possibly have everybody be competitive.
Well, you kind of forget how long it's been since – I mean, these are heady expectations to have when your team hasn't won a single playoff game since they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's 15 years. They haven't been to the playoffs in a decade, so they're up there on the list of, you know, the longest droughts of not even making the playoffs. That's a big jump.
You buying into this – sorry, go ahead, Mike.
They've got all the pieces, and they feel like – Winston is really, you know, stepping into his own. It's you know, you always hear, a guy's been the same way, or he's right now he's been the same way the whole time he's been here. And to an extent that's true with Winston, because you remember him being that vocal guy. He's always a vocal guy. He's at the door of rookie camp when he's a rookie, greeting all the other rookies coming in. You're saying, oh, this guy's going to be a leader right away. So he still acts the same way, and he's still very vocal, but now it carries a little more weight because he's actually put some things together on the field. He's been there for a while, and the longer you're in a place and you're a quarterback, and somebody a team official there said to me yesterday, he is the unquestioned leader of the team right now, and nobody's questioning it. Even the Gerald McCoys of the world who have been around longer will look at it and say, no, that's our leader right there. So that's why they feel pretty good. One other tidbit, I forgot to work this in on the air yesterday. During the down period, before official off-season workouts began, Dirk Cutter goes down to the office. It was before 6 a.m., and he goes down in the lobby of the facility, and Jameis was there reading a book about leadership. And he went up to Jason Light's office and told him, you're not going to believe he's down there because he just wanted to be here. This is where he works. He doesn't care that it's not official workouts. He's going to work out on his own later, but he's here before 6 a.m. reading a book about leadership. So that's why they're excited about this guy.
Kind of like that. Hey, you were in Jacksonville too, right, Mike?
I was. Every time I mentioned to – I sat and talked with Doug Marone. I sat and talked with Dave Caldwell. And every time I kind of mentioned about how talented they are, they reminded me that they haven't played a game yet this year. So they're tired of hearing things like how much talent they have, how much potential, that this is the Jaguars' year. They're tired of hearing it because they haven't gone out and done it. And they are getting a direct approach from their head coach now. Gus Bradley was a very positive guy. Not that Doug Marone is a positive guy, but Doug Marone is telling these guys, look, they're talking about it and there's actually doing it. We've got to go out and do it. And in addition to that, Tom Coughlin's presence along with Marone has led to some pretty intense practices for these guys. I mentioned it in our reporter's notebook, which is online right now. You can go read on NFL.com.
Nice plug.
I was leaving the facility, we're getting ready to drive to Tampa, and this typical Florida thunderstorm, but for people who aren't from Florida, I mean, it looked like the world was going to end. And two guys, one guy comes out and says, why could this not have happened when we were practicing earlier? And then the other guy comes out and he's like, please keep raining all the way through tomorrow's practice, because as much as they can under the rules of the collective bargaining agreement, the Jaguars have pushed these guys to the limit. And if they think this was bad, wait till the pads come on in training camp. They are really setting a tone down there.
Tom Coughlin doesn't
play. And neither does Marone. I like Gus Bradley a lot. I think he's a terrific defensive coach. I think if he becomes a head coach again, he'll probably have learned some mistakes from being a head coach. He's not a hard-line, direct communicator sometimes, and I think that was his downfall. Doug Marone is exactly the opposite of that, and he is directly and bluntly communicating with these guys. I mentioned this on air the other day. He told Blake Bortles, if you continue to turn the ball over, you're not going to be our quarterback. Everything else we can work on, that is non-negotiable. That was a direct quote from Doug Marone. So they are getting that tone set for them verbally, physically, all kinds of stuff down there.
Do you think that it's sustainable for Coughlin to be such a large mouthpiece in Jacksonville along with Marone, that there's any sort of overlap there, or is it just working out great and everything's amazing in Jacksonville until the games begin?
Well, the games haven't been played yet. Games haven't been played yet, so I got to temper anything. But I did ask about that, and I talked to Dave Caldwell about it. I talked to Marone about it. I only saw Coughlin passing by briefly in the hallway. We had a little exchange. But Caldwell, he was up. Look, he said when this happened, he knew it was going to happen. He could embrace it or he can fight it, right? So he didn't really know Coughlin that well, but he says that the two of them are really aligned in their philosophies and the way they look at things. You might not know that because they've got two different personalities, and Caldwell's a bit laid back, and Coughlin is very much not laid back. But the other thing is that Caldwell had as a general manager of a team, it's about more than just picking players. And a lot of times you've got so many things on your plate, and he said it's been really good for him because a lot of these things are now falling on Coughlin, and he's just another voice that he can bounce stuff off of. He said, had Coughlin not been here, there may have been some transactions that would have been different. I don't want to speak in detail. I believe he said don't go into detail on it when we talked about this. But there are some things that he did that he was able to bounce off Coughlin, and they talked things through. And he said, had I not had that, things wouldn't have gone the way that they did. And he really believes that the team is better for it.
Two more things real quick. First of all,
yes.
Now that we're entering the dark period of the calendar for the NFL, are you just going to be a barfly in Hoboken, just bouncing around the path bars, going a little bit uptown, just getting a little dirty?
Well, we're a little late in this call. We had scheduled it earlier because we had a scheduling call with Dave Schott. If you don't know who Dave is, he's a really powerful guy at NFL Network, and everybody bows to Dave Schott. And nobody ever talks back to him.
Never.
But he was talking about to Ian Rappaport and I. And me, Ian Rappaport. If you don't know him, he's a very powerful man on that network as well.
He has squashed some careers. That's true.
About he squashed something. About our schedule over the next month, and just in case something happens, and so I've got days where I've got to be on call, and then I'm hosting Good Morning Football. Not hosting. I don't want to say that. I'm sitting in for Peter Schrager.
You're kind of a big deal.
A little bit of a Freudian slip there.
I got to reel that back in now. I am occupying a chair on Good Morning Football on, I think it's Wednesday and Thursday.
Wow.
So. Ooh.
That's a big job, Schrager's body double.
Well, would Schrager be concerned if you really excelled? Let's say you came in with excellent knowledge, as we would expect, and you just really show chemistry. Is Schrager suddenly on the hot seat in that operation?
I mean, what are the chances I'm going to come with some of that stuff? Probably zero. Probably as good as me just growing a full head of hair tomorrow. Well,
what about the idea of showing up in a romper? That will take you places on that
like
show.
A romper with some me undies underneath it. But listen, hold on. But I'm not going to be a barfly either, because usually my wife drinks with me, and I would love to share some news with you guys. My wife is expecting. Oh wait, that's right. That's already been outed.
Yeah,
we went wide with that one. I had to check with Mike after the show to make sure we weren't breaking anything.
Yes, congratulations.
Great. Thank you very much.
And there's nothing worse. Mike and I talked about this at the media summit. I said, you know, don't go on the baby moon. Don't do anything because it's not fun drinking when your wife can't drink with you and you're just sitting there. The pregnancy thing with boozing was kind of a bummer for both of us, not just her.
They don't fit very well, those two things.
Last thing.
And they don't they don't like it when they see you boozing in front of them. Yeah,
no,
what's the last thing?
Of course not.
You kind of feel like a jerk. Last thing, Robbie or Nick, who you got?
Oh, Robbie. All right, we're on that kind of name with Robbie. I just, you know, you got the second round pick, so unless he really, really falls apart, I'm gonna have to go a while.
Wow!
I feel it. Look, that was a pressure kick the other day. Okay, we're gonna end practice a half an hour early. I'm a little skeptical. Like, what if they had missed? Would they really have practiced for another half hour? These coaches, they don't plan. I mean, maybe would have given them another kick and you make it. No, okay, that one was good. Yeah, we're. I think Dirk Cutter was cutting practice short, no matter what. But Aguayo didn't know that. Folk didn't know that. And so that was a good pressure kick, and you want to see him respond to pressure, and he did there. So I believe that that was the kick heard around the world that will begin Roberto Aguayo's quest to secure the job that should have been automatic for him, at least for a couple of years in the NFL.
Score a vote for the kid, and a thank you to Mike Garofalo, at Mike Garofalo, and he mentioned his Snapchat account.
Yeah, I just
definitely
followed him.
A deft mention there. Mike _ Garofalo, thank you very much, good sir, and enjoy what we hope is a very quiet, dark period for you.
Fingers crossed, boys and girls.
All right, see you.
Thank you.
There it is, a vote for the kid.
Aguayo. Folk. The biggest cliffhanger since that one episode of Friends when Rachel went to meet Ross at the airport after his work trip to China and was stunned to see Ross cuddling up to his new squeeze, Julie.
What is wrong with you?
You got to admit, though. It's
good parallel.
The parallel, you know, you can't take it away from me. It's a great parallel. And it is really, truly a great cliffhanger to go out of minicamp and towards training camp.
That's what you were like all you really wanted to record this morning.
This entire podcast was just building up to that moment, and everything after this, Dan won't even remember.
And a shout out to Adam Rank, who was up here when I went to record this, and he reminded me that the woman's name was Julie. Yes.
Mm. Rich to tell.
Very rich. Friends, have you ever seen that show, Greg?
I had. Yes. No, I watched a lot early.
You've heard of it.
I had quit by that point, I believe, in the program.
That was like season
Believing
two or three.
In the program. I love it. That's a great way
I gave it like a year and a half or two.
It's a good reason to dump shows. You lose, you know, please.
let's move on. Elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in LA and made from sustainably sourced
micromodal?
A fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft luxury undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns, so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style.
You're looking at me, and that makes me uncomfortable.
And guess what?
What?
You can save time and money with a monthly subscription, and if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/AroundTheNFL. Yeah, you heard that, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You know why?
Because you deserve it.
Yes. MeUndies.com/AroundTheNFL. Which leads us into our final segment of today's show.
Ooh.
Unsolved mysteries.
I always thought everybody's house was haunted growing up.
In the NFL.
Mysteries, how do they make this kombucha so tasty?
It is.
Ooh.
Delicious. I have
a little slogan on the side. It's time for a better booch.
We're all going to be drunk after this from kombucha.
I feel a little toasty right now.
Going to put some in your fridge, Dan. Will it be a part of the Hanses family food?
This looks like something that would be obnoxiously expensive.
Yeah, it is.
I have to say. Anyway, so here we are. We're through OTAs. We are through mini camps. Training camp starts right around a month from now. So we've tried to, as members of the football cognoscenti, figure out what's going on with these teams, like getting a feel for teams and players and coaches and GMs. But we can't figure out everything, so that's why we're going to talk about now some unsolved mysteries as we enter training camp. And Mark Sessler, get us going.
I'm going to start in an obvious place, and I apologize for doing that, but quarterback is the reason for me that these mini camps and training camp leading up to the season matter.
The reason for the season.
There you go. And I look at Cleveland, and where we were last year in Cleveland, Hugh Jackson was so on this Robert Griffin train that it seemed no matter what, he was going to become the starter. And right now, you've got three quarterbacks in Cleveland: DeShone Kizer, Brock Osweiler, Cody Kessler, fourth, and Kevin Hogan, he's just there as a guy at this point. But they came out of yesterday's minicamp saying there's literally zero pecking order. We have no idea who's going to be the starter. And I do believe in a way that that's not just lip service. There may be in-house people they'd like to see win it, but it is a true battle. And it's concerning because it means you definitely don't have a number one. But it's a little bit different for me this time around, the vibe of it, than some of their previous battles with completely underwhelming characters involved. There's at least, like, Osweiler, it could be awful, but he's intriguing. Kizer, I think, is intriguing as a rookie, and Kessler is sort of the safe guy that if you're starting with him, no one else really shown.
Brock Osweiler intriguing?
Intriguing. I did not say in talent. I just think he's like, yeah. I didn't even think he was going to be
I'll give you Kizer.
I didn't think he was going to be on the
I'll
team at this
Kizer.
Point.
I don't know. Maybe with Hugh Jackson, maybe he'll be a little different. Brock.
Again, I don't think he's, I don't want him to be. He's the guy, he's this year's version of RG3 for me. I don't want him
it's
to be.
It's a mystery because we don't know where the Browns are going to go. Real quick around the room, over under starts. Brock Osweiler, I'll set it at 7.5.
Under. Mark.
Under.
Under.
Oh, I can't believe yeah. it.
I think he'll be right in that. I think he's going to play about half the season. I can
really?
Wow.
I think Kizer
like
will.
Well, you know what? Actually, no, because they have Kessler there. And if they do talk themselves into Brock starting the season and it predictably won't work out, they'd probably bench him around the start of October or late September. Kessler would get his shot. And then they would probably, when they're like 2-7 or 3-6, maybe go to Kizer to close the season. I could see that.
It's a bad year for QB battles. I've written a column around this time kind of updating the QB battles at this point in the offseason, and I thought there's no point in doing it this year because, you know, Josh McCown and the Jets, I guess that's a battle.
Who cares?
But it seems like a farce. The Browns, it does seem wide open. I don't think you learned anything in the last few weeks, and I also don't think it has a huge impact on the NFL as a whole. What's their ceiling? 6 or 7 wins in a really perfect world. Really, there's one battle that matters.
12 wins, maybe 12 wins.
There's one battle that matters at all, and it's in Denver, and that's it.
Right.
Connie.
Well, this is a perfect segue because mine is also about quarterbacks, but it's more...
Ooh, spooky.
Can Bill O'Brien develop them? Because we've heard it in the past.
Guess that's a battle, too. I was wrong.
He has this skill, and we just haven't really seen it yet. He's had a ton of middling quarterbacks that have rolled through there. Brian Hoyer, Case Keenum, Fitzpatrick, Mallett, Savage, Whedon, TJ Yates, Brock. But now he has Deshaun Watson there, so this could be a true test for him whether or not he actually does have the capability of developing a young quarterback, or is it just all hype with him working with Tom Brady and the stuff that he was able to do at Penn State and it maybe not translating to the NFL. They have wide receivers. They just drafted D'Onta Foreman, and they have guys there that can help, plus a great defense. So I think that's an unsolved mystery that maybe we'll see.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I think that's totally fair, and there are detractors out there who I think maybe get rubbed the wrong way about Bill O'Brien, who point that out a little bit. Mm-hmm. That, like, does this guy really know how to teach that well if his offense is so hard to learn that you can't do it? The counter argument to that is look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer's numbers with him. I mean, Fitzpatrick had great numbers.
He had a really good
Houston.
Season.
Hoyer had pretty great
Didn't
numbers.
Did he have, like, one of the best QBRs?
They basically played about as well as they've played under Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Greg, you're up next.
It's very important we get that music.
I mean, it all.
My unsolved mystery is a looming, and I don't want to get dark. But you would think that one of the biggest stars in the league being under investigation in a domestic abuse situation for more than a year would be a bigger story, and yet the Ezekiel Elliott investigation from the league is continuing. They recently got, you know, documents from the NFLPA, and that's just kind of been hanging out there. I don't want to blame anyone or anything for this, but you would think they could, that this would be wrapped up one way or another, and because it's not, I consider it something that's looming over this team. And as part of that, I'll at least point out a mystery to me is they do have two new starters on their offensive line. So can Ezekiel Elliott be as good, as dominant, or get even better this year with two new starters? Assuming he's not suspended.
It's very fair. It is kind of just hanging there. And there's an update comes out every few weeks, and it's not something like the update maybe you would expect was, the NFL does not plan to do any discipline, there's the blah, blah, blah. It's just lingering.
There's a lot of
it's a mystery.
There's a lot of under the radar. Well, this doesn't seem overly serious, and I would hesitate on that. If this investigation is still happening, haven't we gone through these situations enough that you should take them all serious?
It hasn't been a great off season for him with that and the shirt incident.
With these investigations, is there a in-house detective guy who's pounding the case day after day? Months and months passed.
That's why it's a mystery. Yeah. That's a mystery. How they solve the mystery is an unsolved mystery.
I wish this was a video show because I couldn't remember the quote-unquote shirt incident, so Colleen pantomimed what it was.
I don't remember.
I figured it out, a little Pictionary.
I missed the pantomime.
When he supposedly took
hold. Yeah, that's I thought you meant wearing the half shirt.
No, that was a different shirt incident.
Yeah.
Less salacious. And inappropriate, frankly.
Yep.
Mark.
I would agree with you.
Oh, I feel like we barely talked about the Cowboys this offseason.
Quiet for them for the most part.
I'll start with one name and then I could fan it out to a few others. Robert Stack keeps on liking his grave. Wait, what was that? Over and over again. Is RG3's career over? Is it just over? Is Robert Griffin III, who's obviously still unsigned, is his career over?
I mean, should he go into broadcasting?
I don't know if he would be good at that. I'm surprised. I got to say, I know it went very poorly in Cleveland, but he was also beat up. It wasn't like he was so bad that...
It wasn't that poorly. In terms of just watching the play... I saw some quarterbacks play worse than RG3 last year.
End of the season, there was some progress. But I think it's you sign up for RG3 and you're wondering if you can get more than 3 or 4 games out of them during a season at this point. Once quarterbacks start going down, RG3 is going to be on that short list, unless we don't know what his agent's telling teams that they even called about financials and what he wants.
But isn't it, it's I guess because we've all been here since he was that superstar for, 3 months as a rookie. So it's still hard to kind of imagine that at age 27 or 28, he'd be completely out of football. But perhaps
it's remarkable, and it's kind of not a story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. More surprising is that nobody's even talking about it. It's almost like everyone has moved on from RG3, and maybe that it's because everyone else is kind of on the same page that he just can't play anymore. The injuries basically sapped what he had physically, and he didn't have the other components. But I guess that's it.
Yeah, he just peaked so early.
And there are a couple other players.
I think he's done. I don't think he's going to get a job.
Over under games active, RG3, 1.5.
Oof. Under.
Taking the under.
Yeah.
He might have to go to the CFL.
You want your quarterback on the roster by now, so I'll go under also.
Yeah.
I think Kaepernick gets a job still. I don't think Revis, there's some other big names.
Wait, is RG3 blackballed?
I don't think he's blackballed. He's just...
Greg, this is my segment. I was going to bring up these other names.
Oh, okay.
Remember, I was going to fan
well,
out.
Well, one of them removes a mystery off one of my potentials, so I'm going to cook up another one quick.
Why don't I get out of the way then, and you
well,
go?
Well, no, I think it's fine. I have another one. Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just going to throw out some names, notable guys. Decker will get a job, obviously. Ryan Clady, Nick Mangold, DeAndre Levy, Brandon Flowers, Paul Kruger. Gary Bondish still hasn't jumped.
Wow.
Why's nobody giving me a call on the phone? Give me a ring.
He'll be fine.
Somebody lose my... Am I blackballed?
No, blackballed Gary Bondish. You are not Gary.
Because I'm British.
No.
Blackball my boy British.
Jay Ajayi.
Okay. I'm done. Go ahead.
I was going to mention Revis, and I'll be interesting to see if he plays again, honestly.
Yeah.
But... My one for me that I think is a little longer rangey, because I was thinking about like mysteries are typically around something kind of dark, and like the team that brings up kind of the darkest energy for me right now, and it's not the Jets, honestly, because the Jets, there's clearly like a unified mind on what they're doing.
Right.
They're seemingly on the same page. It keeps going to Chicago because forget just the quarterback thing. That's going to get figured out one way or the other, but it still bugs me that if you're John Fox, you have to go to bed every night knowing that your front office basically iced you before the draft, kept you out in the dark, and wouldn't let you talk because, honestly, the way it's been reported is they don't trust him not to go talk to others about what we're going to do. We're going to trade up. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. That your coach is the coach of a team with all sorts of issues, number one. You have a GM that went rogue and did his own thing. And in some power structures, that's fine. That's not how I previously...
It was fine on draft day when Sonny did it on draft day.
Sure. Fictional, and what happened to that team, we don't know. They don't exist after the end of that movie. Yeah. But the Bears and Fox and Pace do have to coexist. And all the buzz coming out of there is negative, that they aren't on the same page. And when you look at these teams, you say... By November, what is the team where there could be a house cleaning, there could be major issues? Chicago's the one that sticks up for me. So it's not like it's a quarterback mystery or position thing that's going to be solved by training camp, but I just feel a lot of negative energy around the Chicago Bears.
Are you trying to say that the unsolved mystery could be that John Fox takes out Ryan Pace? Or vice versa?
Whoa.
Like, takes out in what way?
I'm just saying.
You went a little far.
One of them is missing suddenly.
We have to get Frank Signetti on the case?
That would literally show up on Unsolved Mysteries, the real show.
Frank Signetti, private eye.
Well, here's a mystery. What happened to that guy?
He landed somewhere, I believe.
Yeah, he's with the Giants, I believe.
Yeah,
is he?
That's exactly where he is. Yeah. Huh. He went to the Big Apple to clean up the streets.
He oversaw the worst year of Eli Manning's career.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, Connie.
Okay. Why hasn't Eddie Lacy tried Beachbody yet? That's sort of...
Isn't he doing it?
He is doing it.
Not a mystery. He's doing Beachbody. He's a paid consultant.
He's had an excellent success with it.
This says, I've torpedoed my own segment. Maybe by Mark Sessler.
He has posted on social media that he's all about that Beachbody.
He's made two weigh-ins so far. He's made.
Yeah, we could cut the music for this one because we
solved it.
I thought he's doing Beachbody.
This would be like the equivalent on Unsolved Mysteries, and it was always the best part of the episode. At the end of it, it'd go update,
Beachbody.
And then bang, they tell you, oh, this woman was found, her body was found in the swamp.
Terrible.
This is a little different, but yeah.
Or the Virgin Mary that was on the dish towel was actually just mud. It was confirmed.
Right.
the visage. You know, one of those things.
Okay.
Solved.
All right. So, yeah, that's not going to work out. I was going to get into how the Seattle running backs are going to shake out. That's just the depth chart in general.
That's a little bit unsolved.
I think that's still a mystery.
Yeah. I was going to. That was mine. So I'm going to jump in here anyways.
Do it.
I didn't come up with
that was
extra.
Yours?
That
well,
was
mine,
too. Go.
All right. So, listen. They have a ton of depth. Obviously, they have Rawls.
Oh, Colleen just won a power play there with Greg, and I enjoyed it.
I know. Look, Eddie Lacy, he's staying on target now with Beachbody,
as he
has been for a little while. They have Lacy and Rawls, which are basically both the same type of power runners. They have Procise, who can run routes like a wide receiver. Alex Collins. They brought in Mike Davis, like, for depth. They don't need depth at all. So I want to know how it's going to shake out, who's going to come out on top, and what the order is going to be there.
I think it's been under the radar that Rawls won a playoff game for them last year, that he was coming off two major injuries back-to-back when he was struggling earlier in the year. He carried them to a playoff win. When was the last time we saw Eddie Lacy play as well as Thomas Rawls played in that game? Thomas Rawls is reportedly flying around the field at OTAs. No one's mentioned the fact, okay, yeah, Eddie Lacy's on Beachbody. He's not playing football. He's still recovering from an ankle injury.
That's fair, dog.
And he's often hurt. And I've always really liked Thomas Rawls as a player, and he's been talking like he's really motivated because they brought in Lacy, and I think he ends up being the guy to ride if you're taking him in fantasy football.
Very fair. I also think they brought in Eddie Lacy because of doubts about both of the other backs they had and their durability.
Hurt. I get it.
I mean, if we're going to kill Eddie Lacy for being hurt, Thomas Rawls, most of his career has been in injury situation. So I think what's different is that if there was a previous regime that we were part, you know, Seahawks team is like, we're going to ride Marshawn Lynch as the 85% of the carries, it could be very different this year. It could look different. And Eddie Lacy, for me at least, the guy has put in effort. He seems like he does very much care about showing up in Seattle and reviving his career. I think they've got an interesting backfield that could be quite dangerous.
This one, unsolved mystery. It's connected to the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton, the head coach. He had this to say on Wednesday after rookie cornerback Marshawn Lattimore had a very nice day in practice. Sean Payton, when he spoke to the media, he wanted to show that he's up with the music.
He made a couple plays today. I told him, you know, he's going to be like Kendrick Lamar. They're all going to get in line to go see him. You know, and that's just how it is that's how it is for a rookie corner. You know, so there'll be a long line waiting to test him, and he understands that, and you know, that's part of that status.
So here's the unsolved mystery: who is the next hugely popular figure, celebrity that Sean Payton will use in dad speak to show that he's hip and can connect to the younger fellas?
So much to choose from.
I mean, that was such a stretch of analogy. Anyway, it didn't make sense. Thank you.
That was worse than my Beachbody comment.
One of my favorite things about this article was Marshawn Lattimore saying, like, yeah, he's thrown that out a couple times to me.
Oh, he's
like,
working it hard.
He's working it hard, as you say.
Like, it's like he reached out to his sons or one of his kids and is like, all right, who's like the big rapper right now?
I know.
And then he made sure to shoehorn it in just to show. And I do
sit down, Sean Payton.
Be humble. I do like Mike Triplett of ESPN. This is where I got that quote from, and then Sully did a nice job pulling it up. But this is how the quote was set up by Triplett on ESPN.com. Then Sean Payton topped off the session with his best one-liner of the offseason to date, flashing his ability to continue adapting his message to younger players.
Oh, God.
Well, I think he still has some way to go.
Can I just say it's inside his DNA? I caught your humble.
We see you. We see Sully.
Damn.
We didn't try to answer your question.
Anybody?
You name it. Who will be?
W.C. Fields.
um, I mean,
it's tough to step up. I don't think Young Thug's going to get as much.
Who's the guy that did Broccoli last year?
He's got to go a little bit of a different industry.
Yeah, his new one's out. You know, check it out.
Why another hip hop? It needs to be someone a little from another industry to show he's versatile. He understands all aspects of
Lord
culture.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some type of pun, like whoever the new left tackle is going to be. It's like, this kid's got a real chance. The rapper.
No. It didn't even make sense. People aren't coming up to Kendrick Lamar to test them.
It was labored. I'll give you that. I think it just made the cutoff for making sense, but it doesn't mean it was a good
Maybe whip. It was like one of those things where someone was like, hey, if you work this in, I'll buy you a sandwich. Like, and he's like, I worked it
John
in.
Payton. All right. Those were the unsolved mysteries that we are interested in as we head into the dark period. Now, a little housekeeping. We will be back to the two-show schedule now, up until the start of training camp. So you'll probably hear from us again on Tuesday. And so make sure you tune in for that. And Mark, you have a great time on your vacation.
Yeah.
Thank you. Important.
And I do want to point out that I noticed it. It did catch my eye that during our phoner with Mike Garofolo, during the phoner, you tweeted out the new Heat and Light podcast is out.
I did. I was
during the phoner.
Sitting on my phone. I forgot it was sitting on my phone on the
Heat and Light podcast.
Host.
You and Connor Orr, of course, your side project.
It's a little disrespectful to Mike.
Well, a little bit, you know. Mike got shorted a little bit there, I'm just going to say.
You know, Greg, of all people to try to bring up that as an issue. I have liberally retweeted Dan's podcast. I have appeared on Dan's podcast on an upcoming show.
Spoiler alert.
Oh.
So I think that it's fair to support each other's project.
Wait a second. That is not what I was saying.
I was talking about Mike Garofolo.
Yeah. Well, Greg's trying to tear down my relationship with Mike Garofolo. Mike and I are fine. Mike and I are doing great.
Dan couldn't be happier right now.
But no, that is my way of saying check it out. What is this week's episode about, Mark?
I would put it under the term of haunted house, very concerning true haunting.
Ooh.
So an apt song.
There you go, the haunted house. RJBP, get back on the saddle.
Check out the throwback pod as well. You know,
the killer is Hot Fuzz. We broke down Bob Castrone and I this
Ooh.
Week. Check that out, Colleen. Your side project.
Coming out soon. Marital Blitz got squashed, so.
Ooh, did it really?
Yep.
Canceled. But you've been on Sheck a lot lately.
I have been.
A lot.
Uh-oh.
Like a lot
Is
lately.
Is this a thing?
Trying to call that a side project.
Well.
I'm just trying to fill some time.
Oh, no. It's of course, Colleen. Oh. But Colleen's going to be with us a lot this summer, so we're going to, you know, continue to work together and enjoy ourselves because we've got a great bond, the four of us.
It's great.
And Sully behind the glass.
Yeah, guys. Hi.
Dan.
Let's go.
This has crashed to an awkward ending.
Here.
All right.
That's it. This is Dan Hansa signing off for A Quiet Storm. Connie Fox, the old boss. And Sully behind the glass. Till Tuesday.